right, good to be with you guys this morning. It's good. Welcome, Roberta and Perry. I know this is the first time in your church history that you did not set the clocks back, and so we just congratulate them on getting here, right? Because I wouldn't have been able to do that with an hour off. So God bless you guys, and thanks for persevering. And you know, there is sort of a little bit of a something hanging on all of us today, right? Everyone's sitting here going, I didn't get my whole sleep. I just want you all to know that it wasn't there. So Holy Spirit, come and replace what we lost in our sleep last night. Amen? Amen. All right, we need some strength from the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen. Jim Reed is here, and Marilyn, and I used to not be able to say Marilyn's last name because she's from the Philippines, and it's a name that I was, always, but, I got it right for the baptism, right? But now I don't have any problem at all because her last name is now Reed. Yeah. How about that? How did that happen? So on January 14th, Jim and Marilyn got married, and so we praise God for that. And I would like us to give a Bradley Epworth blessing to them, all right? So you guys will need to stand and come over here to the middle here, all right? Bride and groom. Well, now turn around to me. I want to see. Turn around to me. Hey, turn around over here, Marilyn. And you, Jim, just like this was, all right? Do you take this woman to be your one?
It's my dream.
Is that right? No. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, and did you guys ever get married in the church?
We got married in the clubhouse. That's okay. Right there where our apartment is, in a Christian setting.
Ah, okay. So it was a Christian service. All right. Well, all right. So I didn't know, and I just wanted to say a blessing over both of you. For this amazing blessing that God has done.
We'll take it.
So, gracious God, we thank you for Jim and for Marilyn, and we ask you, Lord, to bless the union that you have made.
Yes.
That the two shall become one.
Yeah.
And in your name and by your power, you have merged these two lives together for your glory and for your sake and for their joy. And God, we just pray right now a blessing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to rest on them as you merge their hearts together for your sake, Jesus, that their love for you will exceed their love for each other, that the three-stranded cord will not be broken, that you will be the center of their lives, and you will be the purpose for which they have come together to give you glory on the earth. Yeah. Bless them, protect them, and in Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
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 Now you can turn around.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Jim and Marilyn Reed. All right, there you go. Now you're supposed to leave and go shake hands. Good morning, Angel. Hi, Caleb. Hi, buddy. Yeah. You missed the meet and greet.
Oh.
Yeah, and Bethy, you did too.
We were meeting and greeting in the
locker. Oh, were you? You sure? Because I know that's your favorite thing.
Well, we were.
And I could let you go around the room. Who is? Glenn is still meeting and greeting out in there. Okay. All right. So, Kelsey. That when you stop the meet and greet, people slip out in the lobby and say, we're just going to keep going. Right. Yeah, now we know what's going on. Huh?
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes.
I didn't make any excuses.
Hey, this will be an interesting lunch today. Good for you, Caleb. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you know what? I really feel like, well, first of all, I just want to ask, is there anybody who would really need prayer this morning? Just really, you have something on your heart? You got something's going on in your life? You got a burden, something, anything at all? and you just would, you don't feel embarrassed about saying, yeah, I need this. I'm going through some stuff. I don't have to explain it, but, you know, or a healing or whatever. And we as a church body will pray for you right now, okay? Just wanted to open that up today. If there's anybody here at all that's feeling a sense of, wow, I could really. Betty, do you want to say anything or you just want to leave it at that? All right. All right. Let's all pray for Betty. Jesus, we thank you for Betty. We thank you for who she is in you, Jesus. And you know her heart. You know everything about her. And you know exactly what she wants you to touch and bless here today. And the fact that she raised her hand and said, I do, has released something from heaven already over her. So thank you, God. You were just waiting for someone's boldness, someone to say, yeah, I need this. And you're releasing that over her right now. So Father God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let your blessing rest upon her. Speak to her heart. Speak to this situation. Come and manifest yourself in the midst of it. Whatever it is, you are the king with all authority. Wield your authority over this right now. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. What you doing down there, Mark?
Somebody's coffee spilled.
Okay. It's like you got a major project going on down there. Yeah. You got it? All right. I'll tell you what. As I was praying earlier, I was kind of asking the Lord what might be going on out there in the church, and I just felt like the Lord said that someone is struggling with hope, the lack of hope or the hope deferred, right? So I want to speak to you if that's you, and I want to just read this text to you. From Romans 5:5, if you knew Nancy Schneider in her life, you will know that this is one of her most used and go-to verses. But it says in Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. There's a whole lot there, folks. The hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his love, that's one thing, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to you. So let me read that to you. If hope is something you're struggling with and you feel that God is speaking to you, hope does not disappoint you because God has poured out his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit whom he has given you. So Father God, I just pray right now for Holy Spirit to move in our midst, and like an oil that pours out and falls to the lowest place, I just pray, God, right now that your oil of encouragement and gladness will sink to the place of the most desperate heart here in the room, hearts in the room for hope, that there's a loss of hope, that there's a sense of such discouragement that you've stopped hoping, or that you're just longing for something from God. So Holy Spirit, come and touch those places right now. Right now. Right now, here, in this place, right now, in the name of Jesus, release the oil of anointing, release the Holy Spirit. Activate the Holy Spirit in us and bring encouragement. Pour your love out into our hearts right now, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, here's what I want to talk about today, and I want us to look at. And that is a word that is one that I came across. I didn't make it up, but it's in the book by Scott McKnight called The King Jesus Gospel. And the word is gospeling. gospeling. All right? It's taking a noun, the gospel, and turning it into a verb, right? Okay, so the noun is the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's our story. We talked about that last week. I'm going to review that just a little bit today. But the gospel is the good news. It's our story. But how do we actually then activate that story in our lives? How do we live that story? How do we make that story come alive by doing something called gospeling? For those of you who are a little bit older will remember DC Talk, right? Love is a verb, right? who knows that, all right? Okay. Yeah, down with the DC Talk, love is a verb. And it's like, yes, that one's easy because we already use love as both a noun and a verb, but not the gospel. So I want to look at that and say, how do we live our lives in such a way that we are gospeling, that our lives are telling the story, that our lives are releasing that story into the world as we live our lives in such a way that the gospel is coming forth and establishing itself in the world? So let's go back and let's look at the story. The story is that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So the story starts with, we believe that there's a God, right? We believe that there's a God. In fact, the Apostles' Creed, I believe there's a God. That's how I start. I start this whole thing by saying that in this universe, it's not empty. The universe is not empty. The universe is not an accident. The universe is not just some gases that got together and exploded and boom, there all of it was. I believe there's a God. I believe that God is really good. He's a father that's perfect as a father should be. Perfect in wisdom, perfect in provision, perfect in protection, perfect in discipline, perfect in love. But that God's personal. And he's good. And he also has all authority, all might. He is in charge. Nothing challenges him. And I believe that he made this stuff. So the story is his. He's the author. He made it all. He's the beginning and he's the end. And in that process, he created a sphere in which human beings could live. And he chose two of those human beings, Adam and Eve, as his little icons, his little likeness, my image and my likeness. And he said, help me govern the earth. And they were, yes, we will do that. But in their hearts, there was a desire that the enemy could lie and speak into and cause their hearts to want to be like God, not govern with God, but govern in place of God. That we can say what's right and wrong. We can say what's good and evil. We don't have to be under this. Even though he's a good father and he has all might and he is the maker and the writer of the story, they usurped that and claimed it for themselves. And we are those descendants that have come from Adam and Eve. And so God tried again when Adam and Eve failed. He tried by pulling Abraham aside and saying, I'm going to take your whole family and we're going to do this. And that's Israel. And I'm going to give you the Torah and I'm going to tell you who you are and allow you to co-govern with me and take over, you know, like the earth and steward it and bring the glory of God to the nations. And Israel fell to the same, a desire to replace Torah and temple with our own Tower of Babel and with our own decided ways that we will go. And so all of this keeps going all through history until God sends his only begotten son. Now the Nicene Creed, which comes after the Apostles' Creed, will add begotten because his only son, they added that word. They added lots of words. It's the same format, but they added lots of words. His only birthed son, okay? His only birthed son. All of us are the adopted sons and daughters of God, right? But there was one that was birthed. Meaning, he didn't come directly from Adam and Eve. He came from Adam and Eve, but he also came from God. And because of that, this Jesus, the King, and Jesus, King Messiah, King of Israel, Messiah, Lord, his only birthed son, our God, came but was killed. And as a king, he took what the rebellion did to him and he actually used it. But what an amazing king that could come to his subjects and say, the best thing for you guys is for me to absorb your rebellion. The rebellion in your heart, your usurpation of God's authority in your lives, you will do that and it will actually end up killing me. But by killing me, you have released the atoning sacrifice, which will actually forgive you for all of the things that you just did. And it's like, who can do that? Who in the world can actually, you know, have that idea and walk that out and play that out and fulfill that role? And you know, it's like, he did it and he died, but God raised him to life as a testimony. He erupted into human history and said, a dead man comes back to life again in a new body. Brutally crucified on Friday afternoon. Shows up in somebody's living room on Sunday morning. Walks to Emmaus. And he revealed to us, dear ones, he revealed to us a little glimpse of what's in store. Because after he was ascended, God raised him up and established him at his right hand and gave him all authority. He's the king of planet Earth. He's the king of planet Earth, for heaven's sakes. We have a king. And he's in his place of authority right now. Right now, right now, as we sit here, Jesus of Nazareth is standing at the right hand of God with all authority, king of planet Earth. And then, for those who would believe and receive him, he released his spirit so that that thing that kept tripping up Adam and Eve in Israel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be enabled to overcome because God's spirit will do it in us. And so we form this community. We form a community. We're the community of the people who believe that planet Earth has a king, and his name's Jesus. And he died for our salvation. And by believing in him, we are merged with him, become one with him, and we will live with him because here's the deal. You guys, the king's coming back. The king is coming back. That's when things really start, folks. The king's going to return. And when he does, there will be judgment. There will be an evaluation. Every heart will stand before him. And there will be a separation. And those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will go into the kingdom to serve with him over the nations. And then those who aren't will depart. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. We have a king. We have a king. It's good news. It's great news. And he's coming back. Praise God. That's the gospel. But what does it mean then for us to be people who are gospeling? How do we live that story? For example, when Jesus was born, we all know that the angels were there making a big deal out of it, right? It's like, okay, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were terrified, but the angel said, don't be afraid, because I'm bringing you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is King, and he is Lord. That's the proclamation, isn't it? That's the angels proclaiming the King is born. The good news of great joy, the King is born. Come on. Now, over in Matthew, we've got these wise men in the east. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and said, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Again, you know, where's the king? We saw it in the sky. A king has been born. Where is he? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. What they're doing is they are doing the good news. The angels came and said, this is what's happened. The wise men said, let's travel for months on camelback to go to this place to bring gifts and to worship And their activity, their action is a proclamation. He must be a king, right? You say that. We don't say he must be a king because they said so. We say he must be a king because look at what they did. Look at what they did. That, you know, it meant so much to them. You're like, wow, wise men from the east, and they saw a star. What's going on? And they came, and where's the king? And it's like right there, and the star came over the place where Jesus was. And you know, and it's like, wow, this is crazy. What they did speaks volumes, right? Okay, so what we have are angels proclaiming the gospel and wise men living the gospel, doing the gospel. Now let's look at Peter in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And we'll see something that happens similar to this, and we can follow that pattern as well for the early church. So Peter stands up after Pentecost, and everything's gone crazy. The Holy Spirit has come, and he preaches this sermon to the people. He doesn't practice this sermon. He didn't plan this sermon. He didn't write it out. He didn't download it from the internet. He had to come up with this right now on the spot, Holy Spirit. And he talks about what's happening right now, and he says, listen, men of Israel, in Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And he quotes David. And then he goes on to say in verse 29, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now hear and see. So what he's saying is that the real climax of Peter's sermon is that God raised this Jesus, and you know, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you by the way that you helped kill, is now king of the planet, king of the earth, king of all things. All authority is given to him, and you helped kill him, and he's coming back. Now, what do you think the response is going to be in their hearts? What do we have to do to be saved? Right? So the response to the proclamation of the gospel is, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? Just tell me what I have to do. We have a king? Oh, my gosh. And he's coming back? Oh, my gosh. And he's going to judge my heart? Well, tell me what I need to do to be ready for this. And Peter tells him, repent, be baptized, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit will come on you, and this promise is for you. It says in verse 39, the promise is for you about the Holy Spirit and your children and for all who are far off, even in Peoria, Illinois, for all whom the Lord will call, even Tom Eckhart. It says there in my margin. I know there's punishments for adding to the word, right? Okay, so shouldn't do that. Here's what we see. We see Peter preaching and saying the world has a king, and it's Jesus. The people responding, they were cut to the heart by the Spirit. They were cut to the heart, and they cried out, what shall we do? And then Peter leads them into baptism, a commitment to live for this king, to be right with this king. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and infuses them to give them the power to walk this out and do it. Now what happens? The next thing in Acts chapter 2 is they form a community. They form a group. They form a gospeling group. People who will live this out. People who will live in such a way before the world that the world will say, what's different about you? Why are you this way? They will see signs and wonders and miracles among them because the Holy Spirit of the living God is real and it's in their presence. And because they're living under an authority. And that authority has power to do things on the earth. like heal bodies and deliver people and to provide things miraculously and to do things that we never thought were possible. And so this community is forming and it's coming together in Acts 2:42. These people who just gave themselves to Jesus, the king, as king, there's 3,000 of them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their possessions and their goods. They gave to anybody as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Wow. It's happened. It happened. Jesus said we would be his body, right? Jesus said we would be his ambassadors. Jesus said we would, you know, we would carry this out. And it's like it's happening. People were being added to their numbers every day. They were enjoying the favor of God. They were enjoying each other. They were eating together. If somebody had a need, they gave to it. Do you need a car? I got one for you. Do you need a place to stay? I got one for you. Do you need this? I've got it for you. Because we're all the people who have suddenly realized that planet Earth has a king. And we, Scott McKnight in the Jesus Gospel, or the King Jesus Gospel, says that Christians are those who have decided to devote the one life that they have to the kingdom to come. So, wow. They've decided to devote their lives, the one life that they have, to the kingdom to come. And those people all get together, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. And they're willing. It's just like the Estabrooks are going to help Royal Family Kids. Royal Family Kids is people helping the foster children, right? Foster children are in a particularly difficult spot in life, right? And so God says, these children are dear to me, and I want you to take care of them. And so Royal Family Kids is a way for all of us to put our arms around foster kids and love them. But the Estabrooks are now going to sell eggs, which, gosh, those are worth it. You know, that's like gold, right? I mean, are they come individually wrapped in a box? Well, you know, right? And they sell one egg at a time. And it's like, here we are, like all, we're all kind of doing this thing here where it's like, how do we make the gospel alive? We do it by taking care of these kids. And by the way, we're going to do an offering for Royal Family Kids in, you know, a few weeks. I want you to be thinking about what you can contribute to that because they need financial support. And, you know, as a sponsoring church, we want to be able to give that to them. So we're going to be doing that. So just be thinking about that. But, you know, it's like, listen, taking care of those kids is gospeling. It's making the gospel proclamation alive and real in our world. And you know what, you guys? Gospeling is fun. Gospeling is good. And it's surprising how many places gospeling will come up in your life when you realize, oh, this is what it means to live the gospel, to live in such a way that God is getting glory and that I'm... Anytime we live in a way that demonstrates that we live under a king's authority, but also under his blessing, is gospeling. It's bringing forth the fact that we live in a world that has been created and is being written by someone who is a God, who is a Father, and who is Almighty. And so when we do that, we are releasing the truth of the gospel through how we live. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And that's in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you are God's temple? 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are God's field and you are God's building. And Ephesians 1:23, you are God's body. So all of these things are showing us and telling us that, you guys, we are We are the community that represents Jesus in the world, and how we live and what we do and how we treat each other and what kind of things we engage in are all ways of saying this is who our God is. We have a God, and you know, we can do crazy. We went gospeling one day. One day we were here at the church, and we just thought, you know, it was a Saturday, it was Encounter God Saturday, and we just thought, you know what, let's go gospeling. So we walked out the door. Let's go gospeling. And I just happened to be with Becky Gao, and the two of us just went walking down university. Let's go gospeling. What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to find out, I think. And so we were walking down, we walked across, and we get to the laundromat, and we're walking by the laundromat, and this lady's coming out with this big basket, you know, of clothes, and I'm really nice, so I said, hi. But Becky, on the other hand, said, can we help you carry that? And I was like, oh, yeah. Guess that's what I really should have said, huh? And, you know, so we carried her basket for her, and we just were talking to her, and by the time we got the car, she was just crying. She said, I've been praying and asking for help. Gospel. Good news. There is a God. There's a God, and he is a good father. Right? So we got around her and prayed for her. Said, and she shared with us that she's, you know, reduced down to just crackers. That's all she has left in her cupboards, and nothing more to eat because her husband, who's doing heroin, has spent all the money. And so we said, okay, come back to the church. It was Encounter God Saturday, so we knew some ladies would be here, and we brought her back. And the ladies got around her. Were you part of that, Melissa? The ladies got around her and prayed for her, and. And she said, we're coming back. We gave her food. We went in the cupboards here in the church. There's always food here. And we got her food, gave her a bunch to take home. And she took that food home. And she and her husband both were in church the next day, Sunday morning. And Bob came to me afterwards, and he said, I've rededicated my life to Jesus today. Yes. Her husband, and took him the next day to a clinic. The next day, that didn't work out. We took him to, finally, I got him to a methadone place, and Bob made it through that. He made it through that. He was able to stay on the methadone. He was able to get off the heroin and keep his job, and they got regular income, and they've moved to Bloomington Normal, so I've lost track of them now, but it was like, Jesus, that is the gospel. That's gospeling. That's living the gospel. That's making it real that there's a God who knows us and knew that at that time when she was coming out of the laundromat, we would be there and we would meet. He orchestrated that because he's the author of the story. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who made the heaven and the earth. It's his deal and everything in it. And he caused that to happen because she was crying out that morning. And we spent a lot of time with Bob and Angie. They actually came to our church pretty regularly before they moved to Bloomington Normal. But the thing is that, you know, everything we do has the potential to release the good news. Not just tell the good news, but live in such a way that the good news is manifested. It becomes something, right, in our midst. And we look at all the things we do and say, these are things that bring the gospel to life. That was a powerful one and a beautiful one. But there are all sorts of things that we do. I had breakfast yesterday with a bunch of old guys. Is Jim listening out there? Is he? No, he's talking. See, he's talking to somebody else. Now I can tell him. He's talking to Glenn. Oh, Glenn's still out there. Glenn is still doing the meet and greet. Oh, my goodness. Hi, Glenn. You're listening. Oh, yeah. Okay. he's coming back. See, now that you came back, Jim has to listen. So, yeah, yesterday, he's listening actually now. Yesterday, I was having breakfast with some old guys. Jed Heupel had put together a little breakfast gathering for Frank Valenti, who turned 70, and so we you know, he invited some guys, we all came. I looked around that table, you guys, and there's like a close to an average of 50 years each of following Jesus. So for the six of us, that's 300 years, right? That's 300 years of following us, of life given to following Jesus. And I looked around that table, and there were three major heart attacks that were survived at that table. There were two cancers that were survived at that table. There was one man who was in a nursing home, locked up in the Alzheimer's unit. His license is gone, and he was sitting there completely fine with us, has his license back, living life just like he always did. And I looked at someone who lost his spouse to a terrible disease in a very young age and has had bouts of depression that almost took him out at least twice. I look at that table and I just thought, Lord, 300 years of fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, running the race, and here we sit talking about Jesus and how amazing he has been and how faithful he has been, and none of us would be there if it wasn't for him. And we made a plan right there yesterday morning. We made a plan. And the plan is that when we get to heaven, we're all going to sit at a table like that. We're going to do this over again. Only unlimited pancakes. Unlimited pancakes. Because we can just keep eating. We think. We're not sure. We think. But we're going to talk about what God did for us and share the glory. You know, in a beautiful way, what we were doing was gospeling. And here's why. Because whenever we encourage each other to keep running the race, we're acknowledging that we have a king, and that king is returning, and there's going to be judgment. And I want my brothers to stand there before him and have made it, not having given up, not having stopped short, but have made it across the line. That's gospeling, because the good news is that we have a king who's returning and there's going to be judgment, but the judgment releases rewards. And I want everybody that I know to have bucketfuls of rewards. So I want to encourage all of you today. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you, keep running after God. Keep holding on to God. Don't let go. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't understand it, don't let go. The earth has a king and he's returning, and that's all that's going to matter in that day. Okay? So let's just do this, man. Let's do this for each other. And every time, there's so many ways we can manifest the gospeling reality and presence of God. Our food pantry is a constant. Our meet and greet is. Glenn, thank you for being so such a zealot for the meet and greet. That's awesome. But Jim needs encouragement out there. I noticed you were talking. Jim needs, keep him going, Glenn, all right? But, when we do that, look, God is good, right? Yeah, who said that? Diana. And all the time. There you go. We know how to do that. But it's like, how can we keep encouraging each other in the joy of the Lord? How can we keep encouraging each other, right, in the joy of the Lord? And just to be able to say, Brian, it's so good to see you today. I really love you, Brian. You're a brother in the Lord. You acknowledge the same king that I, we got the same king, brother, right? And we're fighting for him, right? And it's just good to see you. I mean, there is so much that happens here on Sunday mornings, you guys, to encourage one another, to bless one another, to just know that I like seeing you. I like you, Bethany. No. I love you. I love you too, Caleb. Yes. there's just a sense of that. Here's another part of the gospeling. Angel.
Amen.
Angel has a place here. Amen. Now, right? Now, angel can be distracting, okay, right? Distracting, But we're here all saying, yeah, but we want angel to be here, and we want Ashley to be here, and we're actually working on a room that's going to be like designed by Ashley and Tony Bill that they put together that has all the things that Angel would want to touch and feel and go around. And if we can get that room designed, then she can have a place because she doesn't have a place. She can go down to children's ministry, but she's going to be just as, you know, disruptive or whatever there. Huh? The windows? She likes the windows? Okay, all right. But you know what I'm saying? This is part of saying we have a father, and he loves his children to come and be around him. Fathers love their children to be around them. The kids that are up here in front, this is the good news is that we have a dad who lets us play in his living room. And to be able to enjoy that is releasing this truth about the good king who is over earth, who is a father who loves us, and he's the perfect father, and he's good, and he's all-powerful, and he's birthed a son and made him king, and he's our Jesus. And this is so beautiful, you guys. It's so wonderful. It's like we can take this everywhere we go. We can live. People can say to us, like the people at Childers yesterday could have said to us, why are you guys laughing so much? What's so funny on this table over here? It's not funny. It's joy. It's joy. We love each other. I love this couple. What a blessing, right? See, this is all part of what the community that Jesus wants to establish, his body, his ambassadors, right? It's his body, it's his representation on the earth, proclaiming to the world, there is a good God who has done a good thing. He has died for our salvation. We understand what he's done. We've received it. We've been cleansed of our sin, and we get to live in the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. When we pray for someone and they're healed, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, it doesn't even happen most of the time. But if it does and when it does, it's a demonstration. It's like, wow, there it is. There it is. There's the king's authority. And you know, so the community begins to have this sense of the king is operative. He's got authority. He's created a community of people who get to enjoy each other and love each other and encourage each other, make sure we get there to that finish line and bring as many people with us as we possibly can. Hallelujah. And that's the community in Acts chapter 2 that people saw, and 3,000 people were added to it every day. Or daily. No, not 3,000. People were added daily. It started with 3,000. But do you see the power that we have, the dynamic that we have, the joy that we have, the releasing of the gospel in our lives, as how we treat each other, what we do together, and how we live our lives? Hallelujah. Praise God.